So this right here, less than 10, what it means is we've got three young guys that are going to share a message that is approximately 10 minutes. And what we ask people to do as they share is to share either a personal story or like a biblical teaching or maybe a Belay distinctive. Like we've just covered our values the last few months. Well, the last time we did this, I had two young guys like literally make a beeline to me and said, "We want to do this. We want to do this next time." And that was Duncan and Carter came up together. And so I was looking for a third person to kind of round that out. And it took me a few months to actually just think of my own son, Samuel. So I approached Samuel and asked him to pray about it. And he said, about a week later, he said, yeah, he'd like to do it as well. So first of all, let's give a hand for these three guys. I know for a fact, when I was their age, I don't think I would have dared to even do this. And so I'm super impressed about their willingness. And I want to read a verse from, I probably haven't memorized, but I'm going to read it. Psalm 119, 9 to 11, it says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And when I was young, I was taught that that simply meant to memorize the word, okay? "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And I love the idea of memorization. I engage in memorization as well. But what I've learned is that what hides the word in my heart even more is when I've been given an opportunity to share it, when I've been given an opportunity to teach it. And so what I really love about what's going to happen this morning is that for these three young guys, whatever they share on today is in their heart now, right? Because you can't be thinking about what am I going to say unless that word gets down in your heart. So I want to start by praying. Duncan, come on up here, and I'm going to pray for all three of you guys before you start, and we'll just let you go at it, all right? So let's give Duncan a hand. And let's pray for all three of them. Lord, we thank you for these three guys, and we thank you for Duncan and Carter and Samuel. We pray that you would anoint them, that your hand would be upon them, Lord. And I pray that we would have open ears, open hearts, open minds to receive what they have for us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Computer turned off.
Oh, there we go.
So I'm going to be talking about how to trust God. I have multiple points and a little bit of my testimony. So we need to trust God because he is our foundation, our leader, and our savior. What does that mean? It means we have to have a solid foundation so that when we encounter storms or points of stress, our foundation won't fail. He is our leader, and not just a leader, but a great leader. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is proof that he's a good leader and he has good plans for us. And most wonderful, he sent his son to die for us. All right, slide three. Picture this. Picture this. You're playing pickup basketball and these guys are just schooling you. I mean, they keep winning over and over again. And then Michael Jordan shows up and he's like, "I want this guy. I want this guy, the guy that keeps losing." That's how we feel whenever God shows up and he's like, "You're my children," you know? So would you trust Michael Jordan to shoot the game-winning shot? Absolutely, because he's Michael Jordan. But not even Michael Jordan has a 100% success rate, but God does. God has a 100% success rate when it comes to people who give their life to him. So why wouldn't you give, like, why wouldn't you trust him? Of course, God can do everything better than Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan's the greatest we have to compare. So, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6 states, "He will be the firm foundation for their entire lives. He will give them all the wisdom, all the knowledge, and saving power they will ever need." Respect for the Lord is the key to that treasure. This is important because whenever storms come, our faith will determine how strong our foundation is. If we build our foundation on sand, then it'll stand up, it'll look strong whenever nothing is happening to it. But the second a storm comes, we'll be washed away. Our foundation will fail completely. But if we were to build a foundation on the Lord, when storms come, not only will we be just fine, but the Lord will fight those battles as well. Here is a perfect example of a bad foundation. I'm sure these people were just chilling, sitting on their couch, maybe watching TV, and then the bottom of their house fell out. I think that shows, like, metaphorically, that could be someone that leads a lukewarm lifestyle. Lukewarm being they claim they're a Christian, but they lead a sinful life outside of it. You know, they might go to church every once in a while, but, you know, they lead completely sinful lives. I have two examples. I'm not going to name their names, but they go to my school. And one of them, I see him all the time. He claims he's Christian. He wears Christian hoodies, but he curses every sentence. He talks about girls. He talks about what he does with them. And I'm like, we shouldn't be acting like that. And then, yeah. And then the second example, I think it's complete mockery of God if we were to say, oh, I'm Christian, and then go do a bunch of, like, completely sinful things. But the second one, we had Bible study after we did sprints in the morning for football, and then not even a week later, he went out and lost his virginity. He got drunk for maybe 2 weeks straight, and I was like, dude, why are you doing that? All he said was, I'm just trying it. But I think that's a complete stupid way to look at it. The Bible study we did a week before that event was completely about lust. I prayed to God about it the night before, and I was like, Lord, what should I do this Bible study on? And he said, he pointed me to, I think, 5 or 6 verses. Matthew 5:28, Proverbs 6, 25 through 29, Proverbs 7:21, Job 31, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and John, 1 John 1:9, which basically, the first three are like, here is lust, here's what it does, here's what it will do if you keep following it. And then the last two are like, God is good, God is faithful, so if you repent of your sins, he will clean. But now we get to the good part, because, I mean, it's been pretty negative so far. So, now that we've established why to trust God, it's time for how to trust God. Step number one is watch out for fear. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 states, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." This means that when we feel fear, we just don't have to, because we've been given the power of love and a sound mind. I know it may seem at times like the world may overtake us, like temptation is just too much. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 states, "No temptation has seized you except what is common in man, to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." What this means, and it might be comforting or it could be disappointing, but this means that if we sin, it's on us. It's not God, it's not Satan, or some other excuse. It means it's our fault. The reason I like that is because I know I can hold myself accountable for actions. So if I sin, I know it's on me. I'm not going to go blame it on somebody else or some other reason. Another reason I like it is because there's only one reason why we sin, and it's us. So, as one would go to the gym, the more we resist temptation, the better we will be at fighting it off. Here we go. When I was in 8th grade, here's my testimony, my story on how God impacted me. When I was in 8th grade, I was in a dark place. I was super mean to everybody, and it was mainly because I believed all the lies that Satan was feeding me. One day, late at night, I was in my bed, and I was scrolling on TikTok. And God put a video on my For You page. A For You page is just like a recommended page, so whatever you like or engage with, that video pops up more. And my For You page was not godly at all. It was mainly girls and videos of games. So this God video was completely out of the blue, and it was a video of the sinner's prayer. So join me in prayer, and we'll pray it. Father God, I want you to come into my life and save me. I believe you died on the cross and rose again, and I repent of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to know what is good and what is bad, and change my heart for the better. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Whether it was your first time praying that prayer or the 100th time, I think it's always good to give your God, to give God your life a little more. We all have a calling from God, right? Well, he's shown me time and time again, mine is football. And I think that if God were to show me the journey that I've gone through and that I will go through to my 8th grade self, I think I probably would have been like, nah, that's not going to happen. But I think that's why it's important. John 13:7 says, what does it say? I'm trying to remember off of the top of my head. You do not understand now, but you will understand later. So I think this was God basically being like, I'm going to teach you patience through this. So he's given me visions of playing in the NFL, playing in college. And what's really cool is you all get to see this go down. I'm still in high school. What I've noticed and how this relates to my talk to God is it's shown me how to trust him, first with the little things, like having faith in him to have my dad transfer my laundry over when I ask him at like 10:30. at that time, it was me kind of testing, you know, like if you're going on a hike and you see an edge and you're like, oh, I want to look over it, but I got to test it so it doesn't fall. That's kind of how I felt then, because the verse that I used to test it was Luke 12:22. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear, or whether it's big things like this journey. Me, going to the NFL doesn't seem like something that would happen. But that's where God comes in. It doesn't matter what everyone thinks, because the man who created everything we know is guiding your journey and mine. So when you share your faith in God's calling, you will get pushback and doubt from the world. An example would be when I first started playing football, everybody doubted me. They'd say things like, if C team wasn't just freshmen, you'd be there instead of JV. Heck, my own coach, I didn't get a single play on offense. But I don't care, because God used that as a way to teach me patience and having true faith in him. Malachi 3 verse 3 states, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Why is that significant? Because a refiner of silver has to keep the silver in the fire boiling, and I like to consider that fire tribulation, to get rid of all the impurities, weak points in spirit, attitude, or mentality. And he sits there watching the silver and keeping very close attention to it, because if he keeps the silver in for even a second too long, it'll ruin it completely. A way on how I like to see this is when you're in school, learning day to day, a subject from your teacher, and the next day you get a pop quiz or a sudden tribulation and test, something that happens out of the blue. you have to use everything you learned from the teacher previously. Furthermore, if it seems like God is silent or distant and he hasn't communicated or spoken to you recently, it's because the teacher doesn't talk during the test. when it comes to trusting God fully, we have to be all in. I absolutely struggle with that, and I'm sure a lot of us do. But when it comes to trusting God, we can try our very best with God in our full hearts. Thank you for listening, and I'm excited to see where God takes us.
Thank you, Duncan. That's great. So I forgot to mention this earlier. We'll have a little time for Q&A at the very end. And so if you think of something that you want to ask one of these guys, write it down. And at the very end, we'll bring them all back up and give them an opportunity to share. All right. All right. Well, next is Samuel Durbin. Come on up here, buddy. Do you need the computer? You have it on your phone? Okay. You want to just have it over on this side? You know what? I think I'm going to pray for each guy as they come up. I think that's only fair. So, Father, thank you for Samuel. And, Lord, we pray that you would anoint him as he shares. And thank you for the word, Lord, that you have put on his heart, the verses that you have put on his heart, the stories. Anoint him in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. So, when my dad asked me to speak, I didn't really know what to talk about. But as I was reading through the Bible, I started to notice that there's tons of verses to point to tell us how to walk in the steps of Jesus. So I decided to make that my topic. And I have two points to support that. And my first one is to be convinced of your call. And the reason I bring this up is because I believe that there's tons of people in this world, tons of Christians, who don't really know what their calling is that God has for them. But there's also verses where Jesus is very convinced of his calling. And the first one is Luke 4:16-21, which says, he went up to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So this one, Jesus was sharing in the synagogue, and as he was reading, he told everyone that everyone he grew up with that this is talking about him. So this just proves that Jesus he knew what his calling was, and his calling was to go to the people of Israel and to preach to them and to save them. But and I have a personal experience of my own from last year of when I heard my calling from God. So all my life I've kind of struggled with knowing my true calling that God wanted for me to do. And every year I've gone to a Bible camp in North Dakota, and I've always prayed to God, asking him to tell me what my calling is. And while I was at this camp, I would play this game called Nine Square. And there was this one girl who was playing every day, and she would always call me Jeremiah for no reason at all. And I kept on telling her my name is Samuel, but she persisted to call me Jeremiah. So I went the entire week known as Jeremiah. But but then on the last night of the services, I was in the back of the room of the chapel, and the pastor, he was calling everyone up for the altar call and he was calling them up for what they want to do, for like what God's calling them to do. So people were coming up for being pastors and youth pastors and worship leaders and missionaries. So as I was in the back, I kind of had a feeling in the back of my head telling me that I should be a missionary. But I stayed in the back. I didn't go up. And as I was praying, I felt the hand of one of the pastors on my shoulder. And he told me that God had a word for me. So as he was praying for me, I was just accepting his prayer, but I was still kind of skeptical because I didn't know what I was feeling, if I was, you know, to be a missionary or not. So the pastor, he tells me at the end of his prayer that God is going to give me the gift of healing, and that I would be healing people from all nations, and that I'll be traveling to heal people. Wow. So this kind of like got me confused, and I was thinking a lot about it. And then towards the end of the service, towards the end of the altar call, the lead pastor, he shared a verse, and this verse was really pretty crazy, because the verse is Jeremiah 1:5, and the verse says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So just now I had heard a pastor saying that I would go to all nations healing people, and all week I've been called Jeremiah. And this verse on the very last night is from Jeremiah, and it's talking about going to all nations and being a prophet. So at the end, I went up to the pastor, the lead pastor, and just asked him to pray for me so I could have some clarity and some security of what my calling was. So he asked me to share my entire story. So I did, and he was just as shocked as I was. And when he heard the part where I would be healing people, he asked me to pray for him because he had dealt with joint pain from playing sports early years in high school. So I did, and as he was praying for me, I just felt so much just comfort and peace when he was praying for me. So I still don't know if he was healed, but I pray that he is. But that was the thing that I can't deny anymore, and that I know now that I'm going to be a missionary to a certain country. I don't know which one though, but that goes. And my next story, or my next point, is to be comfortable with discomfort. And the reason I say this is because lots of people, or as humans, we want to be comfortable with the people we surround ourselves with. But in the Bible, there's tons of different verses talking about how Jesus wasn't necessarily comfortable in his teachings. And this first one is Luke 9:57-62. And it says, "As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me.' But he replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, 'I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one puts a hand into the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" So this one talks about how Jesus, he never had a home as he was traveling and preaching the good news. And there are people who wanted to follow him, but they weren't ready to set aside the things that they loved. But Jesus says to them to just give him 100%, even if it's going to be uncomfortable, even if you're not going to have a place to go to sleep or have a safe home. So, and my second verse is Matthew 14:13-14. And it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So this one really sticks out to me because Jesus had just found out that his cousin John had just been killed, and he wanted to mourn the death of his cousin, but as people found where he was going, they followed him, and when he saw them, he, instead of like showing them, just like, instead of being mean to them, he showed them kindness and healed them. And I think that as Christians, we can sometimes desire to, or like, we want to do our own thing first and then deal with what God wants us to do. But rather Jesus, he wants to mourn, but at the same time, he knows that God wants to work through him, or that he's going to do God's work, and that he's going to heal people sick and show them kindness. So my last verse is Isaiah 53:1-3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. So this shows that Jesus was hated, or he will be hated by the people he has come to save. And as Christians, we will go out to people, and sometimes we won't always be accepted by them, and that we won't be loved by the people we want to serve, or not serve, but like the people that we want to share the gospel with. And sometimes they will just show us like hatred and meanness. But Jesus, and this happened to Jesus as well, as we know that he was hated by all the Pharisees and ended up getting crucified. So yeah, my main question was how do we walk in the steps of Jesus? And the two answers are to be convinced of your calling and to be comfortable with discomfort.
So good. That's great. Man. I you know, you can tell you're in the year 2024 when you think of memes that go along with what you're experiencing. And so mine was the guy, his head exploding, you know, and just like, what? Like, mind blown. So that's fun. That's cool, Samuel. Come on up, Carter. Carter. So last night I got to hear this guy play drums. And we've heard him play cajon, but you ought to hear him play the drums. That was awesome. And yeah, one thing I wanted to say too about Samuel, let him pray for you. All right. If that's his calling is to pray, let him pray for you. If you got something you need God to heal, let's let God do his work. Let me pray for you, Carter. Thank you, Lord, for Carter. And thank you, Lord, that he is just, he's multi-talented, just like these other boys, gifted in many ways. And thank you, Lord, that he's going to share just what's on his heart, Lord, the gift you've given him, the passions you've given him. And so we pray your anointing, your blessing on him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Cool. Hey, guys, I'm Carter. I've been coming to this church for around a year or so now. So I didn't grow up in a Christian family. It was a very atheistic family, and throughout like my childhood, I struggled a lot with mental health. I struggled with mostly anxiety, and it caused me to like miss quite a bit of school because I'd get really anxious in school and have to go home. I also struggled with purpose because I just didn't really know what, like, I was just scared about my future, and yeah. But just when I came to Belay around a year ago, I've just never felt so like welcomed with open arms. And how I kind of started going to church is I was with one of my friends and we were having a sleepover, and we woke up on Sunday and he was saying that he had to go to church. So I was like, okay. So I started packing up my stuff. I was going to go home, but he was like, hey, why don't you come with me? And I was like, sure. Yeah. Like, we can hang out after. And I had no intention of going there and like trying to find God or even listening. I just wanted to go there so I could hang out with him after. But So we were on the way, and then we arrived there, and I just walked in the church, and I remember just seeing, like, these beautiful paintings all over the wall. And then I just felt like a burden just lifted off my shoulders. I felt a presence, and that presence I later learned was God. And I felt the purpose, and and I'm not going to, like, sit here and lie and say all my troubles just went away after I started to go to church and find God. But God has taught me a lot throughout this, and this leads me into my main point. So we all go through things that we tell people and things that we don't, but we all have burdens in our life, and a lot of times we get to the point where we're like, God, why does this have to happen to me? We get to points where we're, we just feel like God is mad at us because we're going through something. But a lot of, like, as Christians, the questions that, like, atheists, like, sometimes ask us is, like, if there is a good God, why do bad things happen? And that's a question that a lot of, like, us will get asked one time. And honestly, the answer is really simple, and that's just because he loves us, you know? It sounds kind of weird, but, like, imagine, like, you're going, when you go to the gym, you want to grow your muscles, but you can't do that without putting some pain or tension on your muscles. The only way to get them to grow is to put some pain now, but they will grow later. And that's, like, what God kind of does with us. He gives us, he puts us through something, but we always come out the other end with something, and that something is wisdom. We come out stronger and more wise. And that leads me to my first Bible verse, which is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 9. In the same way, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born. So every time we go through something, it's always for a purpose. When we come out the other end, we come out with more guidance. And we come out with, just stronger on the other end. Like, God's not just going to get rid of all of our battles. That's not really how it works. He builds us stronger to fight these battles and come out the other end. Like, with what I went through, which is my mental health and purpose, the reason I'm here, like, the words that I'm speaking right now is the wisdom that God gave me to speak to you guys. And I kind of think of this as, like, a puzzle. We're all, like, part of God's masterpiece, which is a puzzle, and we all, like, have to connect to each other. We're all, like, little pieces in the puzzle, and how we all go through our own things, but we can help each other and connect with each other by talking about it and, like, sharing the wisdom that we got from that. And what I really learned through this is every obstacle in our life is an opportunity for us to grow closer to God. A lot of times when people go through something, sometimes when you're in a low point in your life, you don't hear God as much. You feel like God kind of abandoned you and neglected you, but that's not really true. And as Duncan was saying, the teacher always stays silent during the test. And when we are through low points, God is always going to be with us. It's not like he just left us, but, like, these low points, this is a great time for us to grow closer to God, and because he's testing our faith. And like, when we all go through something and we get wisdom on the other end, sometimes we have our insecurities about, like, sharing, like, what about this? Like, I'm not good enough. But, like, with mine, it was because I'm a lot younger than a lot of you guys. But I was doing my Bible study, and then God spoke to me with this verse, which is, don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, and integrity. So just because you have something in your life and you feel like you're not good enough to share, God can always use you. He can use each and every one of us. And so that leads me into my next verse, which is Matthew verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 20. And he's going to be with us through all of it. When we do go through these low times, as I was saying, sometimes you don't hear him as much, but he's, no matter what, he's always going to be with you. No matter what. So whenever, like, you don't hear him as much, just know that, like, this is a time, this is an opportunity for you to get closer to him. My next verse is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I'll strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. So as I was saying, with, like, when we go into the gym and we train our muscles to get bigger, and, like, same thing with, like, if we're studying, like, a lot of time when we're studying, I'm sure you guys have felt, like, stressed or overwhelmed. That's because you're, like, training your brain to get stronger, and that's how we learn, and that's how we, like, study for tests and stuff. So he is strengthening us through all of this. And how I kind of like to think about it, like, he does have a path for us. And I know a lot of you guys, like, have heard people say that, like, God has a path for you. But, like, just really let that sink in. Like, he has everything planned out for us. And a lot of people think that, like, a walk with God is just going to be easy. It's just going to be a perfect, like, uphill slope. But how I like to think about it is there's always going to be divots in the slope. It's not going to be a straight slope with, like, your walk with God. How I think about it is, like, you can't walk up a 45-degree angle. You need to have some divots in, like, a staircase, you know? So all these divots are hard times, but that's how we kind of sink our feet into it and get stronger so we can get up to the top. And that's really what God has taught me throughout this, when I did go through these, like, battles and stuff. And, so the next verse I have is John 13, or chapter 13, verse 7. You do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand. So a lot of time we're like, God, why is this happening now? Like, why do I have to go through this? But like always at the end, we realize, then we understand what God was doing. So this is kind of a lesson that I've learned. You know, when we do go through hard times, we're like, what about this? Like, this might not be part of God's plan or whatever, but you, like later you will always understand. That's, as I was saying, you come out with more wisdom, you come out stronger, and you always understand. And that's how like God builds us to be strong, like warriors of God, is he puts us through these situations so we can grow and get closer to him. And that's how like we can also share with other people from our experiences. The next one is Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. This is just, you guys have probably seen this Bible verse plenty of times, but this is just showing that God's timing is always perfect. It's not going to be like, he does not make mistakes. Like, it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. You guys just, like, we should just trust that. When we do go through times, sometimes it's like, why does this happen now? Like, why did this have to happen? Like, why, this is a bad time for it to happen. But just trust his timing, because no matter what, you will get through it. And, like, coming out of it, you will always grow closer to God. And, yeah. Another thing I want to say is why we do go through these times, it's not because of God. He's not like intentionally putting us through these. It's because of our own decisions, you know. We do make, like, we're humans, we're not perfect. The only perfect one is God, you know. So when we do have like opportunity to make a decision, sometimes we're just going to make a wrong decision because that's just, we're human. But if God just was in our life and he was saying, hey, make this decision, if he told us to make the right decision, that's not how we grow. That's not how we like reach our divine potential. We got to go through these times so we can learn from it. God, you know, he's a, like, we look up to him, but, like, at the same time, sometimes we do, like, stray and make wrong decisions. But that's why God just doesn't, like, always come in our life and teach us what decision to make. So, yeah, that's that one. And then, yeah, sometimes we feel like we're at rock bottom. You know, like, sometimes we feel like, yeah, we're just, at, like, we can't, it can't get any worse. But at the same time, that's God showing us that, like, he is that rock at the bottom. He's not going to let us, like, fall. He is our firm foundation. So, like, when we do feel like that, that's kind of like God teaching us that like he is our foundation. Sometimes we don't realize that and we need to. And that's why God does sometimes put that, like put us through that. But again, it's our decisions that put us through that. But God just doesn't come in our life and help us to make the exact right decision. But so last thing I wanted to say is, you know, we're in Boulder. It's one of the most atheistic towns in America. And I'm just like, I'm not sure if some of you guys have seen the movie Jesus Revolution. But when I watched that, I kind of just felt God, like, speaking to me. Like, that's what we are doing here in Boulder. And that's why I feel like Paul and Patty were kind of called to come here to Boulder. Because it's such a lost and broken town, you know. It's this is a great spot to, like, start something new. And that starts with all of us. So I'm saying it's not a, like, obviously it is a very lost and broken town. But it takes each and every one of us. So, like, just something simple, like spreading the gospel to your friend. But I believe that we can, like, turn this town into something awesome. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, Carter and, Duncan and Samuel, come on up here. Let's give you guys a good hand. All right, all three of them. I'm so proud of all three of you boys.
So
well done.
Proud.
So proud.
Yeah.
Nice. Biggest challenge now is stay humble, okay? Because you've got anybody have just a comment or a question for any of these guys? Feel free. Let's put them on the spot in just a little bit. Yeah, Birdie.
Can you guys describe your experience of being Christians at Fairview? Does it feel hostile? Does it feel supported? And part two is what support do you wish there were? What do you wish there was at Fairview?
Do you want to start? Yeah. Honestly, I feel at Fairview, it almost feels a little like isolating, you know? Because everybody else is like going out, partying, doing a bunch of like sinful things. But, I mean, we have to remember, during seasons of isolation, that's just God making you comfortable with yourself. And then for the second part, for support, I wish there was. I'd say I wish there were more serious Christians, because all of the Christians at Fairview say they're sin, like say they're Christian, but they're all totally lukewarm, and it's super kind of annoying.
And I agree with what Duncan says. It definitely does feel like a little isolating, like Because there's not, like, as you said, there's a lot of lukewarm Christians there, like people that put like Bible verses in their bio and then just like don't follow it at all, and they just kind of do it just so other people will like think they're cool, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that that goes on, but I agree with him with like the isolation. Like, it is sometimes I do also like the isolation, because like as God said, like go in your room, like shut your door and just like have alone time with God. Like, when we're alone with God, that's when we learn the most about ourselves. So that's sometimes it also is like a blessing to be able to be like isolated by this, but also like Sam, Duncan, and Adrian, like we all have a pretty good pretty good group, but we're trying to expand it, you know. There is a something at Fairview, it's called the, what is like the meeting during lunch that they
FCA, do? Fairview Christian, either athletes or alumni.
Yeah, there's like a Christian meeting, but it's at lunches. But I've realized they like give food and stuff there, and everyone just goes for the food. Like, I realized that like there's a lot of people that don't even like have never been like close with God, and they just go in there and they just like eat food. So like that's the type of thing. Like, sometimes there's attempts, but I feel like it's just used by people who just want food.
That FCA group is led by one of the examples I used. So
I agree with them, because it's like it's not like what they said. There's not many Christians at Fairview, but then there's most of them are just lukewarm, I guess. Yeah.
And like, I've known people who have like really like made attempts to get closer to God, and then their friends just bring them right back. Like, it's a lot of like, it's pretty much like a lot of the people you surround yourself at Fairview is like, those are the people that sometimes, if you don't have like, if you're not close enough to God, like sometimes they can bring you away from God too. So that's why we got to be careful. Like, I want to get close with God, but I also do want to be there for them and spread the gospel. Like, so yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing I was just going to mention is, so I'm a senior at CU, but I went to Heritage High School in Littleton. We had FCA as well, and I definitely I hear what you're saying in terms of there are a lot of people who come to FCA who might have lukewarm faith, but one thing I would just mention is that even if someone is showing up to that just for food or just to hang out, I don't think that is any less usable.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's God giving us a chance to.
Yeah. And I think, like, even. I get, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit discouraging almost to be surrounded by believers who might be lukewarm, but I think the reality is that every single one of us has been in a place in our life where we've been lukewarm.
Exactly, yeah.
It's, you know, we weren't even designed to be on fire for God 100% of the time. The reality is that we want to be at that spot, but with the nature of this world, we aren't able to be at that. And so I would just provide some encouragement of like,
even though it can
be annoying, I can totally get that. Even like taking a second to see that as, you know what, how can God use me here to just be, to be graceful and help plant that seed versus necessarily having the pressure to bring the entire Fairview High School home to Jesus.
Yeah, and like it's like the same thing how like God called like Paul and Patty to move to Boulder, which is like the most atheistic like town in America. So that's very like. It's definitely like bold to have to be here, and but like we can just like, I just pray that God will use me as like a vessel to help like Fairview too. But like, I think it's definitely a challenge being in Boulder where like there's so little faith here, but at the same time I feel like that's an opportunity for God to like use us as vessels to help spread it around here. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, absolutely, without that judgment.
Yeah,
exactly.
Truth and
yeah.
grace, right? Truth and grace, that's one of our big values.
When people give testimony, when you're sitting listening to someone else talk about themselves so deeply, it's almost impossible not to think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's great.
I have a question. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What have you guys found out to be the most effective way to reach, people that don't know about Jesus at your age?
Probably...
Food.
A lot... Food, absolutely. But then once you... yeah, food, absolutely. But then once you get more into the conversations and they start to actually engage, I feel like a lot of them think that the Bible is outdated or, like, that it doesn't apply to their lives. But if you show them verses that truly, like, almost, like, spear you, it's like, that verse is so, like, relatable. Like, it's something that absolutely is happening in my life. And there's nothing they can do to, like, doubt it.
then I feel like then that's like irrefutable proof is, I think, the best way to reach them.
Yeah, and like as Paul was talking about, like I'm in a band and both of the people in the band are very I don't know, they're both very like lost people, and it's like kind of a struggle to, like, I really do want to like open up about my faith, but I want to do it slowly, because I'm like, if I do it too quick, I know that it's I don't know, I just don't think it's gonna do very well. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to like be a very like just someone who's there for them and someone who's like a safe person to talk to. So then when I do that and they feel like really comfortable around me, that's when I want to start like opening up with my faith and stuff, because like it's harder for someone just like to come up to you on the street and just be like, hey, Jesus loves you. Like it's harder to connect with someone who you don't know very well. Like, I feel like it's good to first kind of like let them know that you're a safe person to talk to and someone that like a comfortable person. And then I feel like it's good to start opening up with your faith and stuff. That's what, at least what I'm doing. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think just becoming friends with people, because there's a lot of people who I fear who I'm like friends with, and they know that I'm Christian, and some of them have asked me questions about it. And I mean, I started being friends with Duncan and Carter. Yeah. So
I became Christian because mainly of Samuel. I saw that TikTok video and then I was like, I'm gonna ask Sam about it. And then we came to Belay, and then
Christian. I'm just curious, so how can we help you guys in high school? How can we support you in a better way? Or do you feel like you may not know, but there's some thoughts that you have towards that?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know. I feel like clubs would be good, but...
Like, to beat you?
Like... Yeah, you know, like, come to Jesus! No, but I feel like more groups or even like handing out Bibles. But right now I just think there's so many people. It's a school of like 2,000 people, so I don't really know.
Can we hand out the Gen Z Bible? I don't know, just a bunch of Fairview.
Yeah.
And the one I watch in the building, there's just such a palatable sense of stress.
Yeah.
Academic stress, peer pressure stress, and athletic stress, which you probably know really well. And I would defer to the college students in the room. Ian, are you listening?
Yep.
I think, Ian, keep me honest, I think it gets better. Like, I think this is the hardest pressure, because the pond is so small.
Yeah.
And when you get to college, the world expands, it's more diverse, you know, to find your place and belonging. I don't know. Ian, chime in.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, in high school, you're kind of just forced to be around the people who go to your high school.
Yeah.
When you get to college, especially in a place like Boulder, even though it's such an atheistic town, you can find your people. You can find the people you're around. And those are the people you're going to be like the most. And that doesn't mean, you know, you're going to stay away from non-believers and not be influences in their life. But it does get easier. You feel less isolated. You feel a little more united.
And like the last thing is like also just like praying for people. Like Paul asked me a few weeks back for the names of the people in my family so we can pray for them. And the morning after, my sister just sent me a text and she's like, hey, can I start coming to church? And I was like, it was completely like we did a text for like a few weeks before that. But she's in college right now in New York. But now she says that she randomly just got a motivation to start going to church. So just like praying for each other. And yeah.
Max had a question.
Not as much of a question, more of a statement. I help out with a youth group in Erie, and I know that a lot of the kids mostly go to Erie High School or Peak to Peak or Niwot, and they have prayer groups that they have, whether at lunch or before school. And I think something like that is fantastic, where it's a time in which you get to intercede for the school, pray for people, and also just invite people in that may be curious, or even like, a lot of them do it just in the cafeteria or like in a hallway. So people are passing by, a little bit awkward, but at the same time, it gives people an opportunity to see kids praying for their school for one another, and it piques interest. So.
At one point, we discussed doing like a Bible study. We were gonna try to like do a Bible study. I don't know what happened to that, but I feel like that would be a cool idea to like bring together actual Bible study in the school, like at block lunches or something. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, you've shared that example already about your sister, which is really, really encouraging to me.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is for those of you who come from atheistic families, like, what has it been like for you to be, you know, the one Christian in your family? And, like, how can we, you know, encourage you in that as well?
So in my family, my mom, she, I think she's Christian, but, but with my sister and my dad, they're totally atheist. And it's a little hard because, I brought up like lukewarm to my sister maybe like 6 months ago. And now she started identifying as a lukewarm. So I'm like, that wasn't really my point. But yeah, so I think it's just a little difficult because, like, I'm sure, as she said, we all have had a lukewarm stage in our life, whether it be before we came to Christ or after, somewhere in the middle. Like, when I, in eighth grade, sometimes I would... Like, I'd see a God video, and then I'd just scroll past it immediately. I wouldn't even know it was a God video until I scrolled back, and then I'm like, whoa, that was obviously something pushing me away from God. So then I just kept pushing towards God. But back to the family part, it's a little difficult because they don't really take you seriously, you know? You're just another, like, Jesus freak or something. But I think the more that we just keep pushing, then I think it'll get better.
Yeah, with, like, my family, like, what happens, like, my mom came here to watch me get baptized here, and then, like, she really, it looked like she was really, I don't know, she seemed like she was kind of getting close to God for some reason. Like, I just saw her facial expressions, and she was just, like, smiling, and I really thought, like, that was kind of the start. But I realized that, like, in this town, it's, like, people, like, surrounding themselves with a lot of, like, atheists. Like, my mom kind of just got, like, dragged right back into it. I feel like sometimes I make a little progress, and then her friends kind of, like, I don't know. It's just definitely harder in this town, too. It's one thing if we're in, like, a town with more faith. But, like, I feel like if you make a little progress, it's just, like, with them surrounding themselves with a bunch of, like, atheists and stuff, I feel like it's a lot harder. But, yeah, it's definitely a little different. And, like, sometimes, like, before my sister said she wanted to start coming to church, she kind of, like, made fun of me for it. She was, like, because sometimes she'd use, like, Jesus' name in vain. And she'd be like, oh, sorry, I forgot you were here. And stuff like very, like, sarcastic and stuff. Like, it's gotten better, but it's definitely a little weird. Like, they kind of just think it's another, like, phase you're in, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of trying to prove them that it's not just a phase. Because, you know, we're teenagers, we go through phases, that just happens. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to prove that this isn't one of them, you know?
This isn't a phase, Mom.
All right. Well, maybe we'll kind of wrap things up, unless somebody else had any last comment or question.
So I just want to say something real quick.
Yeah.
So I just really appreciate you guys stepping forward and sharing this really kind of intimate part of your lives. It's not an easy thing, really, you know, so kudos to you. And kind of going back to my question, how we can best support you, I think one of the things, you know, I asked that question, and I just want to almost end on this note, which is we as a community of Belay, you know, we support each other. And so just make sure you reach out and support and check in with you as well.
Yeah.
Christian, why don't you come up here, and would you just close in prayer and just kind of pray for them?
Yeah.
Would you do that? I got the joy of doing that.
We just come before you, and Lord, I'm just going to lay hands on you guys here and just touch you and come forward. And Lord, we just bless these guys, Lord. We intercede on their behalf, Lord. They are lights, Lord. They're working out their faith. Lord, we have these moments of stumbling, Lord, but our identity is not in that. Our identity is in you. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray for a mighty hedge to be about them. May they be a light and encouragement, Lord God. May they just be real, Lord God. It's not about perfection. It's not about success, but Lord God, relationship and faithfulness within that relationship. Even when we fail, you are so good to us. And so, Heavenly Father, we just at Belay, Lord God, the greater faith community, we just lift them up, Lord God. May they just operate, Lord God, moment by moment, Lord, in the identity of who they are. May they be encouraged and strengthened. Lord, with each other, but Lord, with you present in their life, Lord God. You love them. You paid a price for them. You've called them by name. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray protection over that calling, Lord. And we just celebrate what you're doing at Belay. And so, Lord, we pray that we are a church, Lord, a community that purposes, Lord God, to look beyond ourselves, Lord God, and to see the need, Lord, to engage with those around us, Lord, to meet them where they're at, Lord, in their journey. Lord, may we just be that place of witness, Lord God. You walked among us. Mm-hmm. You gave up glory, Lord God, to walk amongst a broken people. And so, Lord, we don't judge. Lord, we celebrate the gift. And so, Heavenly Father, we say thank you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.